the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer.
Yeah.
I am Jeremy Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guy?
It's going fine.
Have another beer?
Yeah. And I had a coffee.
So you're ready to go tonight.
Yep. So we're taking a bathroom break at some point during this podcast.
I had a margarita before all this. Or
oh, there you go.
Maybe multiple. So there may be multiple bathroom breaks.
I mean, you're commiserating because I heard the team you work for lost 100-0 yesterday.
Well, at least 100-0. At least that's what's been reported on the internet.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw on the interwebs.
Yeah, if the interweb says it, then
that's what the tweeter said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of things going on. A lot of coals in the fire. We have USL actual like meaningful. This time it counts. USL matches will start next week, so we'll have our USL kind of primer.
Mm-hmm.
MLS week two. We're in. We're going.
It's happening.
Still know not much about teams.
Does anyone know?
I mean, some of the teams that we were panning last week don't suck anymore. So their season's already bad.
Hooray.
The Crew's a good team. They've won two games, guys. No one thought they were going to win.
If you're wondering now who is this voice that is higher pitched than the rest of us, this is my wife. We've talked about her before, probably like more times than anyone would care to talk about her.
Wow.
Myself included.
This is like the time you intro'd Twillman and you like talked about him being like old as dirt and like he was like, oh, what?
Wait, yeah. So this am is on I par on with same, that. Wait, good... am I on the same playing field as Taylor Twillman?
You are getting a bad intro.
Yeah.
Just like him.
Well, if my intro's the same as Taylor Twillman's, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good intro, though.
Yeah, so this is my wife, Amy Schweitzer. She's saying hello for the first time tonight. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
So she'll be here until she gets tired and she feels like she doesn't
want to contribute. Which is about 10 minutes ago.
I mean, she's got about, I'd say, only about
20?
I was going to say like 3 or 4 more sips on that Corona.
Yeah. She's counting in time. So, but she'll be chiming in until she feels like it's time to go to bed this evening.
Here's what's keeping me up. Daylight savings time.
Ooh, that's good.
Wrecked us all.
This is only 10:30.
Our entire family took naps today. Like everybody, every family member just kind of hit a wall around like 2 p.m. today.
Yeah, I took one.
Well, I always take one, so yeah. This is not any.
My wife pretty much takes a nap all weekend long.
Mm-hmm.
It's because really convenient she's a mom.
All right, well, before we get into mom.
Anyways, I just want to tell you why I took a nap. We fell asleep to the soccer game.
That's true.
No, actually, it wasn't even the game. It was the after, like, broadcast.
Post-game show.
Mm-hmm.
NBC Sports, Carl Martino, Rebecca Lowe, they're all back.
The A-team is back.
Thank God! I have been waiting for Rebecca and
but it
Kyle
was the comfortable
back.
Dulcet Towns that so put, us just, all to, put us right to sleep.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was like... The voices you know. It's
Arlo
comforting.
Back where he needed to be.
Yeah, right. Ugh. He's back in the booth and actually calling the matches themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
everything felt right again.
It really did. It felt comfortable. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go right back to bed. It's like your grandparents giving you a hug.
It was just nice. It was just like a big blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it was just Arsenal. They killed Watford.
Also, and, like a big blanket.
Yeah.
They smothered him
with a blanket. And Spurs start out real slow, and then they won 4-1.
Yeah.
What did they even need to talk about? They should have just, like, cut out to rugby.
We'll get there in a moment.
Oh. And they did cut out to rugby, eventually.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well,
that's what I'm saying. They should have just
and made sure everyone tuned into the Valspar Open to watch Tiger Woods not win a tournament.
Okay. I don't even know what we're talking about at this point.
I do. They said he was in a good lead. In second place. I was like, how does he have a lead in second place?
He had a
He
had a bacchiotomy last year, so it's the fact that he can still swing a club is good.
If you're listening for the Tiger Woods and Golf Focus podcast with Jeremy and my wife, you can tune in after this show. But what we'll do now, before anyone gets too much further down their golf paths, we'll check in with fantasy.
Let's do that.
Because everyone hates doing this.
Right.
And by everyone, I mean me and you.
Because we suck.
Yeah, that's mostly where it is. We both sucked in both our leagues this week.
Oh,
there are two of them.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Jay Slack remains at the top. Predictable.
8 weeks left, so that's pretty much chalk it up.
2 weeks in a row for Jay. His Lawyers, Guns, and Mane at the top of the Premier League table. I fell 5 places, 67th. You fell 3 places to 128th.
Feels good. Feels good.
Yeah, it really does. And then last league, you are ahead of me.
Still.
2 weeks in a row. I fell 2 places, 16th.
Mm.
You fell no places. No, you actually improved. 2 places, 7th.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Look at me not suck for the first 2 weeks.
You remain in the lead, at least the two of us. Actually, at the top of the table is Sakars GSFC. 2 weeks in a row.
Don't know who that person is.
Neither do we.
But did they provide a name or no?
Sarkar.
That is the name.
I thought Sarkar, that was the name. It's GSFC.
Get after it. Tweet at you.
It's a good thing there's not a prize anymore because I wouldn't know who to address that to.
Do you want to rehash why there's no prize again?
Because I'm a corporate shill.
And you had to send a prize to
That's right.
To like New Delhi or something? Yeah, like that?
It was to Africa.
Or Papua New Guinea. Right?
Yeah, Papua New Guinea is where we actually had to send a t-shirt to. Well, I know, and this is why my wife shouldn't be on the podcast anymore.
We can't afford to send prizes.
You don't know when people sign up for your league and they're from Papua New Guinea and they win it and then you have to send a t-shirt.
How much do you appreciate that also? That's kind of awesome.
Guys. It helps those Google metrics when you have a listener.
It does.
Like, just think. That's awesome that people from that far away are listening to you, because who cares? I have to listen to you.
Well, they got a free t-shirt, so I hope they would listen.
They better care.
Yeah, they should.
Better wear that t-shirt.
It's important.
It's good guerrilla marketing, that t-shirt.
Yeah, that's right. We're probably the most popular soccer podcast in Papua New Guinea as a result.
We're up there. We're at least top three.
Whew.
Let's move on to actual soccer that happened.
It's impressive. It really is.
Manchester United 2, Liverpool 1 is where we will start in the Premier League. Why are we putting these matches at 7:30 in the AM? I know that's not 7:30 AM there, but still, it's like
it'll
early.
Be 8:30.
Yep.
I just want to throw that out.
Daylight savings times will push all that back.
For like 2 weeks until they switch as well.
It's the fall, but whatever. It's fine. I agree with you entirely. You know why it is? Because this is like... Mm-mm. It's think of the college bowl games in the fall where they put it midday.
Right.
It's the big match. Everyone wants to go out and drink for that game, and they want to make it the rest of the evening of it. That's what they do in England. For us, it's literally the rest of the goddamn day.
This is a nooner, right? This is a nooner?
I don't think that we're their target market.
Oh, that's the folly of the American audience, though. Everyone thinks that we're the target market.
But really,
what was it? Is it La Liga or Serie A that like we're starting to put matches on it, like times that were totally not convenient for the locals?
Yeah,
but because they were trying to capture like the Asian market,
they were trying to get the Asian market. It was La Liga. They were pushing kickoffs back to like 11 p.m. kickoffs, so that way they would be like a mid morning kickoff. I think for the Asian market is what I remember it being. It's like 15 hours behind,
right?
And that was the ultimate goal. But in this particular match, it was way too early.
It was way too early. And United, I mean, it was Mourinho's type of match, right?
Yeah,
it had
absolutely.
30-some percent possession.
But it's not the possession that wins you the matches sometimes. And Mourinho is the guy who proves that to you.
They also didn't look bad. They didn't look like they had 30-some possession.
There's they didn't. I actually was surprised when I went back and looked at the numbers.
There was a lot of talk about how Lukaku had one of his better games for United.
He's on a good little run there. He finally had a good match against a big team, and when he had that match against
Chelsea. But that's the point. Normally, a game where Lukaku's heavily involved, it's one where he's pretty much just playing possession. He's checking back, getting control, playing the point for them. This was a match where he didn't really do that as much, but he was actually really influential, and that's why everyone's paying attention to him now.
It was a Rashford brace. Mm-hmm. That is the difference in this one. He's making the England squad, right? Like he's
well, he has to now that Harry Kane's out.
Right? Oh boy, yeah. Well, there is that.
Well, he walked out on crutches, guys. Okay. Let's just like. We can get to Spurs later. I'm just saying.
Amy doesn't want to rip the Band-Aid off. She wants to just go.
No, we don't have to talk about Spurs now. I'm just saying.
Rips the Band-Aid off and then sticks finger into the wound.
Jeremy opened it up. He said Rashford's making the England squad.
Well, he is.
Someone's going to have to fill his
He's having shoes. A great year, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a given now that Rashford's going to be on the team. The question is, who starts right now? And obviously, it's going to be Kane.
No, he's injured.
Let's pretend for a moment that he's actually not injured.
And then Jamie Vardy had that amazing finish.
We can't even talk about it now. No, it's fine. It is legitimately, when you think about what's going on with the Rashford situation, he's absolutely on the plane. Like, he's going to be on it. And the question is does he force his way into that starting 11? I think there's room for him when you put him out wide, presuming that Kane's actually going to be fit. There's ample room to put Rashford in that starting 11, and let's be real, where else would you actually put someone else? Like, is there someone that's going to supplant him?
Not at this point.
Lingard?
No.
No, yeah.
I mean, he'll probably make the squad, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Surge is terrible now, so he's definitely not going to be him.
No, it's definitely not going to be him. And it gets to that point. But United definitely looking positive this weekend, despite not having all the possession. You do have to think this is a match that was really important for Jose and for United on the whole, because the narrative has been over the last couple of weeks is this is a side that's in a bit of disarray.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, they're trucking along to the point where, like, if it wasn't for the season City's having, like, United's kind of having that season of where they're any other year where you didn't have a team running away with it, they're like right there contending and possibly the favorite, right? Like they're having a title season, except City's having one way, way better.
And that's what's hard to like understand about it, because City is just, how do you even look at anyone else and be like, oh, they're having a good season?
They're in a different stratosphere.
Yes. And so everyone else is having a horrible season.
It's made it hard to define how well everyone's actually doing right now.
This is kind of unheard of.
Well, it's been a while since we've seen anyone in the Premier League kind of just run away with it. Yeah. Like a couple of years ago, we thought City were going to pop out of this really early lead, and then they ultimately squandered it.
Even Arsenal had a great start to the season
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago, and then they kind of fell off. City has not faltered.
No. Really. I mean, I'm thinking that, like, the last big season we had was, like, with the Sir Alex's last season, they won by an incredible margin.
Yeah, I think it was 12 points.
Well, to be
points.
Honest, this City's test is not winning the Premier League. Come on.
Yeah.
Already done. They need to show in the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely.
Treble's still alive?
It is as of right now.
It should be. And if they don't get to the final, then that's on them.
We're talking about City now, obviously. Yeah. They haven't played this weekend. They will have a match tomorrow against Stoke. We're recording on Sunday night. That means that...
They're playing Stoke, though.
Who cares?
And I feel like I saw Shaqiri's not playing for Stoke as well, so...
Lovely.
Yeah. Makes you want to tune in, if nothing else.
This game doesn't matter.
No. But all those things said, United getting very important points for them, at least as far as securing Champions League places are concerned. I think that's what everyone in the chasing pack are most concerned with at this point. It's not about actually catching City, it's just make sure you're keeping your place in the European spots.
Let's get into the rest of the EPL, but... I think you made a great point. Like, I watched Chelsea's match like this weekend. I was like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't like nothing matters Premier League wise. Like for like a lot of these teams. Like, sure. Like if you fall into top four or not, but it's like.
But that's an odd point.
The luster is off the season.
You're outside of the top four though. Like
no, just barely. I think what he's saying is the right point for every team, even close.
Yeah.
Like Spurs. Crash out of the Champions League should not be that big of a deal, but it was because that's another thing they can't win now.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Now all they can win is what, the FA Cup?
Well, there is that as well. But no, like, Chelsea
but
are aside.
But now everyone's just shooting for top four.
Right.
You guys were recently outside of the top four mm-hmm. in a season that we've recently just finished up. You're now in a position where you could do that again, 1 year shy of winning the Premier League.
It's what we do. I mean, at least we're possibly going to finish in Europa's spot.
Is the doll over the prospects of where you finish in the league really so, like, difficult to take that it dims the prospects of actually competing to get in the rest of the other spots?
But, I mean, like, let's go back to the United win. Like, they won. It was impressive in the fact that they went out and implemented a game plan, as Mourinho tends to do against bigger sides, and gets the victory.
Mm-hmm.
For United, like, it meant nothing. Like, it meant nothing. They were in second place before, and the second, I mean, it was just, hey,
yeah,
you've greatly improved your second place.
It's what it's really boiled down to is there's, obviously, there's City at the top of the table. Their spot's almost guaranteed at this point. But then you get below them, and there's, like, two spots that are kind of roughly guaranteed. Those second and third spots, if you're in there, and you can hang there, and we're now reaching that point of the season where, if you can stay into those spaces, roughly,
mm-hmm,
you're probably not going to miss out on the European spots.
True. Which is true, but how exciting was it, like, the last couple years when it came down to, like, one of the last two weekends?
It's really, really exciting.
It's so boring right now.
The problem is that, I don't know, you and I, obviously, we're both Spurs fans. Jeremy is a Chelsea fan who's on the outside looking in at the moment.
We're all fighting right now. But it's what Jeremy said. It's like there's not that, like.
But you're talking right now like Spurs have it.
Have what?
The Champions League spot wrapped up.
No, I think so. You guys are right. Talking like that.
You're right there. You're not far off.
Right.
But you're also talking a little bit like Chelsea not getting it is a foregone conclusion at the moment.
I've reached this weird point where I almost don't care because we kind of we have good seasons when we don't play in Europe.
Yeah, no.
Well,
one less thing on our plate.
It's an easy way to win the league, huh?
It was so funny to me when Spurs crash out on Wednesday. Kyle Martino tweeted, "Love Kyle Martino," and he's also like a good. I'm glad he's back.
Worried
on.
About that DJ? Or how's that?
No, not really.
Well, maybe no. I might love
her. Her exposure level is low, so.
But he said, like...
That's why Taylor's not on this episode. Oh. I'm not trying to make a link. Yeah.
Well, he said, all right, Spurs, now you can focus on getting back into the top four to make the champions, like, next year.
Yeah.
And he's right. Like, all right, so you crash out of Champions League, so now you can focus on getting back in Champions League.
To crash out again, possibly.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that was kind of his point.
It's called the Arsenal cycle, if I'm familiar with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now,
they're trying a different version of those.
Spurs have never been in that cycle. So now they're trying to, like, figure out where do we fit.
You could
this.
Be in worse cycles.
Yeah,
you could be Newcastle and you're cycling in and out of the Premier League. So.
You mentioned Newcastle. Let's get into them real quickly.
And they had a great weekend.
They did have a great weekend. A big 3-0 win for them over Southampton.
This win brought to you by Chelsea.
It pretty much was.
Kennedy with the brace.
Yeah.
Chelsea Loney.
Okay. One of those Kennedy goals, by the way, was just probably enough to tingle all the Chelsea bits out there that are like, he's still on loan.
I mean, we had him scoring goals. Mm-hmm. We had Batshuayi scoring a brace.
Everything was happening. All the loanies on the mark. Humongous win for Newcastle because they've been so dodgy within the table over the last few weeks. Holding on to that spot, keeping them above the drop zone at the moment. Southampton, meanwhile, floating dangerously. Dangerously towards that lower end of the table. I don't know.
Not having a good season.
These are two clubs that are constantly in flux, though. Like, they could be in the exact same spots opposite of one another within the next couple weeks.
Right, but we've talked about this with Southampton. Like, they've had a nice little run here in the Premier League.
Uh-huh.
And it's the wheels are starting to fall off.
Well, you can only sell away so many of your players for £20 million every year.
Let's talk about where the wheels have completely fallen off. West Brom,
ooh boy.
1, Leicester City, 4. This included Jamie Vardy with a tasty one.
That Jamie Vardy goal is probably the best goal I've ever seen.
Okay, wow. All right.
I feel highly confident about that. That is an impossible goal to try to take. If you've ever tried to take an over the shoulder ball not look at the goal and try to hit it out of the air, 9 times out of 10, you miss.
Okay.
The fact that you can put it on goal, not over hit it, not too much power, just absolutely breathtaking stuff from Jamie Vardy there. I feel very confident in saying that's probably one of the best ever Premier League goals I've ever witnessed.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, okay. That's
going on record is saying that big.
High marks there. People that needed a win.
Wait, I just want to say DJ is going to back England this summer.
Why? Is that who you're going with?
Well, you kind of said that.
Why? Earlier, because
like a couple of days ago.
Oh,
because who else are you going to back?
Well,
Jamie Vardy's your guy.
Well, he's not my guy. Harry Kane will be my guy. That I can get on board with that. But I could also get on board with some Jamie Vardy strikes. I mean, if he's going to hit goals like that.
Not too shabby.
I could enjoy that.
Everton needing a win and actually, for a change, getting it. They beat Brighton Hove Albion 2-0. Big Sam, the seat is hot.
Yeah, the seat is hot. He's going to keep it hot enough to keep them up.
Just his bravado keeps that seat hot, regardless of their results.
Is there any chance at all that he keeps the spot come the first day of next season?
No. Not a chance.
Would we want to speculate on who gets it? Wayne Rooney, player manager?
Ooh, there you
that's
go.
That's what I want.
Oh, that would be so good.
That's what I want.
That would be so good.
You would like it even.
Love player manager.
Yeah, seriously, it's a family thing.
We are. I would say we are the player manager podcast of record.
Oh yeah, if there's one podcast that's for player managers,
it's us.
It's wrong side of the pond.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about like a World Cup off season, so there's just going to be a lot of managers kind of in flux.
Yeah.
Who knows who's in that seat?
Who should the U.S. pick?
Jurgen Klinsmann?
Big Sam, obviously.
Are we not going to hear in this podcast?
Mm.
It's going to be Big Sam or Alan Pardew, flip a coin.
Perfect. Oh, take the job, Alan. Alan, most likely going to be out of the job by the time the season ends up. At its conclusion, West Brom, bottom of the table, literally going nowhere at this point.
Also a team in a bit of turmoil, you could say, and you could almost say it, slightly boiled over this weekend.
Maybe even going nowhere.
West Ham 0, Burnley 3.
What a hilarious match.
This ended in a bit of a disaster.
I mean, it depends on whose angle you're looking at this from.
Your favorite pitch invader, go.
My favorite pitch invader?
There was a lot of pitch invaders.
Definitely the guy who took the corner flag all the way to center field.
and just held it up.
He also planted it as well. Like, he was claiming it. Just, like, this is my moon.
Yeah.
He made his proclamation.
No, I disagree. How about the guy that Noble tackled?
Oh, that was also amazing.
Off the field.
The best part about that is it highlights just the total difference of how people running onto the field
are viewed differently
here and there. Because, like, you just had stewards just, like you had that guy, that big guy in the suit just standing there. And Mark Noble's, like, looking at him like, dude, come and get this guy.
Well, there's conspiracy theory floating about as to why no one came out and did that.
Because it was, like, no stewards. There was just the one guy in the suit, and then, like, one guy finally meandered in.
In both circumstances, the guys had free will on the pitch for 30 seconds, right?
You think that there was a code red called there?
Maybe there was like a covert thing.
Like, hey, just stand down. Stand down when these guys
let the club look ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is for the benefit of all of us.
But this happens.
Mark Noble throws.
Let Mark Noble assault a fan.
Check. It happened. I mean, it's unbelievable that a player had to body check a fan on the middle of the field.
But he didn't have to.
This is how it goes in England, right? And really in all of Europe. Like, they let these guys just run around like idiots. And then they kind of like, oh, hey, well, all right, let's get off the pitch. And they kind of like usher him off the pitch. Where, like, in America, like, that guy's getting tased before he gets, like, within 30 yards of Mark Noble.
Do you remember when the last time there was a major pitch invasion in the United States? It was during the Major League Baseball playoffs.
There was a Phillies fan that wore it pretty hard.
Well, there's that, and then the first base coach got stabbed.
You did that. You had a man get stabbed in baseball.
Wait, but did you see that Burnley bench? They let kids out of the stands who were fans, like home fans, West Ham fans, onto their bench. Kids. Because they didn't want them to be subjected to fighting in the stands. Did you see those pictures?
West Ham is hell, is what it was.
Crazy.
Blow your bubbles. It doesn't matter how family friendly you're going to make.
Do they blow the bubbles anymore?
The match.
Not these days, with all these losses.
But this is the ridiculous part. I legitimately don't even know what happened in the game. Like, I can look up
nothing,
the score.
Nothing.
I can look it up. I think it was 0-0, wasn't it?
No, it was 3-0.
Okay.
Burnley actually blew the door.
Oh, that's right. Now that we say that. But that's the whole point of the matter, is things have gotten so bad at West Ham that I don't even know what the score was. And it's a Burnley side blowing the socks off a team that shouldn't be getting their socks blown off, considering this is a stadium that seats 60,000 people in the Premier League era.
They conceded 3 goals in 15 minutes. In a 15-minute stretch to Burnley.
Oh, Joe Hart.
he was between the sticks.
Bleeding heart he is at this point.
You can't blame the players at this point.
We
can blame Joe Hart for almost anything.
Yeah.
Like, I blame Joe Hart for Brexit.
All right.
It's on him.
He's at least partially at fault.
That's why
they had to go to Torino for a little bit.
That's a good point. Get
off to Italy. With your Euros.
Other matches on Saturday, quickly, Chelsea 2, Crystal Palace 1. Hey, we won a match.
It's reverse fortunes for you guys at this point.
Yay.
Are you feeling better?
Not terribly.
Well, based on the earlier conversation, it sounds like
we should have scored about 7 goals. We scored 2.
Okay.
And then almost threw the match away in the end.
All right. So what you're saying is you don't think you're going to catch up to the Champions League places at this point.
I mean, it's flip a coin.
Okay. Now we know.
Yeah.
All right. A couple other matches that did take place as well. Arsenal actually found themselves back in winning ways. 3-0 win over Watford. This is a match that looks like 3-0, but it wasn't probably quite as close as that. Watford had their chances, especially early on, but
unable to take it.
Petrček having a huge penalty save on Troy Deeney.
Not something he's done much of in an Arsenal kit.
Oh, no, he has not.
Also, how about poor Troy Deeney?
Why?
I feel like
Did he kick a man in the head again and go to jail?
Pretty much.
Not at a bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Every Arsenal fan now loves Troy Deeney.
It was a sanctioned
As they kick. Would.
Yeah. If that's how you try to get into the hearts of Arsenal fans, no one's going to feel good for you at that point.
For everyone's like misfortune, they feel like 1,000 times better.
Fair enough. Talking about other sides that everyone should feel better about them having misfortune in the week.
Real quickly, this was Petrček's 200th
clean sheet.
Mm-hmm. It was his 12th attempt to get number 200.
Wow.
So 12... not so clean sheets between number 199 and 200.
They have a really great chance of progressing their Europa League.
I do.
Next week.
They do.
So
that's all he needs.
2 up on away goals.
It is.
AC Milan.
If they win that, they're in the Champions League. And
if they win that, though, that's a job.
Still that. Yeah, there's still that to do. And Arsene Wenger is still in charge.
So if you're an Arsenal fan, then do you want to win Europa? If that's what you win, you win Arsenal for another year?
At this point, like, would they take that over Champions League?
I mean, if you listen to the tenor...
Can't you say that's better than, like, FA Cup?
Yeah, but if you listen to the tenor of Arsenal fans, I don't know if they want that. I don't know if they want another season of this.
That's probably true.
So maybe don't root so hard
for
that Europa.
However, we saw someone crying at a bar 2 years ago. For winning the FA Cup this week.
I hope he listens this week. A couple other matches we should pay attention to before we get on with things. Hey, Spurs.
You guys want a match?
We needed a little bit of a rebound for reasons we're not going to talk about until a couple minutes from now.
A win that felt like a win, but possibly a loss. There was a loss that happened at the
time. Yeah, Harry Kane came out 30 minutes after the opening whistle, having a nice little offside maiming that put him in the hamper at the moment. Not necessarily the best way you want to see potentially the best striker on the planet.
I was going to say, we're recording Sunday night. We don't actually know what they're going to say this week.
The last thing that we saw
was... He walked out on crutches.
Yeah, he did walk out on crutches.
That's not a good sign.
No.
However,
we didn't need him.
Here's the benefit. Spurs don't play again in the league until April 1st.
Also,
who you guys play on that game?
I don't know.
Chelsea. You play Chelsea.
Yeah, I do know. Chelsea.
Luckily, you guys suck, so everything should be fine.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Can we just say that when he went off the field, they were losing by one goal, and they went on to win 4-1.
It was a really tight game until it absolutely wasn't.
You know, we love Harry Kane, of course. However, do we need him? I don't know.
Not for that match. Son took over.
Who needs Harry Kane more?
Is this
Spurs
Florentino
or
Perez sitting in our living room right now trying to convince us to sell Harry Kane off
for
not enough money? No, I think Spurs definitely rebounded well. Kyungmin Son, who's been Spurs' kind of unsung hero this year, he's...
I get what you do there.
Yeah, me too.
You're welcome.
Unsung hero. That's good.
Every once in a while, I have them.
Hey, I love it.
Have you guys watched the Asian broadcast? South Korean broadcast?
Oh, yes.
I actually watched the North Korean broadcast.
Whenever he's in, they just put his face on.
Yeah.
And then when
like ISO cam?
Yeah, it doesn't even have...
There's no Spurs logo.
It doesn't even say Spurs. It just says his face.
So there's no logo.
I mean,
Kyungmin Son.
Then when he's subbed out, then it goes back to normal.
So where Pep referred to it as the Harry Kane team in South Korea, it's the Kyungmin Son
absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely.
As it should be.
It definitely was his team.
He's earned his spot.
A couple other matches that obviously took place this weekend. We've run our way through most of them at this point.
There was a 0-0 that I just refused to even mention.
You want to
say?
Swansea. There's a red card in there, I think, for the Swans.
Congratulations to them for whatever that was.
It's points not dropped, which means they're closer to staying in the league next year. Otherwise, that is your Premier League action for the weekend.
You're just drawing this out. Let's go Champions League.
Can we just skip over it?
I had to watch this match at the office with my coworker Andrew, who is also a Spurs fan.
It just happened, and it's over with now.
And
let's talk about it.
He was, man, that first half... He was on cloud nine. And by the end of the match, I was like, I think everyone else needs to leave the office. Just go home early. Everyone just go home.
I'm trying
we
to think.
Just need to give him
what
space.
Was the thing I said to you, I think, in the immediate aftermath? We talked a little bit after the match, and I said we were due for a Spursy moment.
Yeah. What's so disappointing is my kids pack up at 2:45. So I turn the game on, and the bell rings at 3:00. They literally didn't want to leave my classroom because they were watching soccer with me.
Okay.
And then they all come in the next day. Did your team win?
No. Wah, wah, wah. From a neutral's perspective, this match between Juventus and Spurs was absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
Back and forth affair. Both teams had their opportunities to make themselves impactful and actually take the match itself. Spurs going up early with their two away goals. You thought, hey, they got it wrapped up. But as I said a couple of minutes ago, we had that Spursy moment. And it was actually a few more minutes than a moment. But it was enough for the bastards to pull a couple ones back from us.
They seem like nice guys. I'm watching that Netflix documentary on them.
The Chiellini comments are the ones that really get me.
Yeah, I actually completely missed these comments.
What, though? He has points.
He does have points.
What did he say?
None of them, most of them, have not been on this stage before.
Fair.
So he pretty much came out and said, we've done this before and we know how to do it and that's why we won.
The guys in the Football Ramble referred to them as the dark arts that Juventus know how to pull off.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely the truth to a certain extent. They should have been given a penalty earlier on in the match, if we're being completely honest. But all things said, Spurs were the better team, but Juve figured out a way to wriggle their way into a win. And
they scored. I mean, they scored two goals in a 3-minute span.
God,
I would agree. And watching this with my coworker, who's a Spurs fan, he just kept uttering, "We've bossed this entire match up to those 3 minutes."
It's one of those things.
Wins a soccer game.
Nope.
Yeah, you try to comfort yourself with thoughts like, this is an encouraging performance. We got edged out by one of Europe's, literally, and I say this respectfully.
The old lady.
The old lady is one of the biggest clubs in European soccer. Like,
so much so they got a Netflix special.
Yeah, right?
I don't hand those out to anybody.
But the problem is that if you want to get over that hump, you want to be the club that Spurs aspire to be, you have to beat teams like Juventus.
However, they did beat teams like Juventus. They got over Real Madrid.
You beat Madrid.
Yep. And they got over...
I mean, you can enjoy that.
I'm just very thankful that Chelsea will not be the only English side going out this round.
All right.
Well, you also have to
We need company. We don't want to be the only one.
We did this just for you.
Who did Liverpool play? Who did City play?
Well, and that's totally... Liverpool won like 100-0.
So, Liverpool, Porto, and there was, like, literally no reason to watch their second leg because Liverpool won the away leg 5-0.
Right.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over, folks.
We had a couple of those like that, unfortunately, where we... A
few more to come.
Yeah, well, there's...
Beşiktaş got their doors blown off. We got that to look forward to this week.
But it's one of those flaws in this stage of the competition where you get paired up against teams that you could be significantly better than, but then also you look at a spot like Spurs and U of A come against each other, and you'd expect them to not necessarily get paired up in that particular fashion. So, if you're trying to get the best teams in Europe, maybe this is the wrong approach.
Right.
If you're trying for that variety, well, then maybe this is what you're getting.
I mean, we had two English sides that got very tough opponents. We had two English sides that got less than tough opponents.
Yeah.
And well, so what's far, also
tough is that Spurs won their group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they got paired against Juventus.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's so subjective because it is a tournament. It is those one, two games.
Chelsea lost, or we got second place, so we got what we deserved. We got Barcelona.
But yeah. That's what makes it fun, too. It's a tournament.
Yeah.
Tournaments are fun.
And that's why you want better teams in the group stages, so teams like Juventus go through and finish in second against drawn sides like Spurs and making these a little more complicated than we want them to be.
Other teams that went through, Real Madrid played PSG. PSG spent a few dollars,
yeah,
a few euros
for offseason
to build a championship side, a side that could win the Champions League. And they go out in the first knockout rounds. Sure, they had to play the defending champs, but yeah.
However, isn't Neymar injured?
Yeah, and that was the point I was going to make.
So one of the two players you spent all that money on, not a factor.
That is the player.
Quarter of a billion euros spent on someone like Neymar.
I don't know. Did you watch that first leg, though? He wasn't much of a factor in the leg he actually appeared in.
Well, and I'm trying to think of who actually said this, but the recent quote was, is if Neymar actually wants to leave a player like Messi's shadow, he should go play another sport.
Come on.
Which, I mean, really? It's not necessarily the wrong quote either. Like, it's like, where are you trying to be?
No.
But whatever the case is, despite spending 500 plus million euros on two players, City are out of it. And by City, I mean just the Parisian city that have all the dollars in France.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Conte is going to be their manager next year.
Sounds like at this point, yeah. There's been talk of Zidane as well. So,
well, there you go. Why not both?
Yeah,
just have them both. I mean, if you can throw the money around,
they'll co-manage.
They definitely seem like managers that will totally get on.
Very similar styles, very similar temperaments.
A couple other Champions League matches worth noting: Manchester City are through as well.
Yep, they get past Basel.
Yeah.
A lot to a little. This week we have United will face Sevilla. That is a, what, 0-0 aggregate? So
yep.
Still anybody's game there. Chelsea 1-1 with Barcelona. Of course, Barcelona had the away goal there.
You know, they're in a not good feeling spot. Confident. They're no. in a good spot, though.
We've been in worse spots.
Come on,
spots.
Jeremy. They're in hey. A good spot.
Hey, we've done it before, right?
Yep.
Ah, man, this sounds like something that we should quote at some point in the future.
I mean, Fernando Torres went to the new camp and won.
Oh, God, if this happens, it's just going to be too much. I'm not sure that I'm ready for it.
That was a year we were also hovering around 5th and 6th place.
So. All right.
See? Anything could happen.
Now we just need to fire our manager midway, like right before the second leg of the first knockout round.
Waiting for it.
And then put a former player in charge, John Terry. Call your office.
Woo.
Get Frank Lampard, call your office.
Get him signed up.
Shoot.
Get them all back out. Just bring them out one by one.
That's how it's done. That's how it's done. So we have that to look forward to.
All right. Champions League matches this week. As you're listening, you may have already learned the results, or you may be learning from us, but we're not going to go over them too much right now. We do have domestic action to get into. Let's move our way over into that.
It's going well. It's
worth talking about. Atlanta United got embarrassed that first week out.
Yeah, pantsed.
First week back in their home stadium, set one. League of Tennis record.
Yep, 72,000 plus.
It's an insane amount of people watching soccer.
It's a good amount of good amount of dudes.
It did not feel like an MLS game.
No.
Felt like an NFL game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just was incredibly loud. You heard all the commentators saying things along those lines as well. But once they even brought, you know, the pauses in time, you have things that are getting switched out. It's just the magnitude at which people kept the volume throughout the course of the match was insane. Every time they tried to call on anything, the crowd became the center of attention.
Mm.
Turns out when you have 72,000 people anywhere, that's going to be a...
Indoors.
Yeah. Close
echoing,
up.
Yeah.
Close up, what do they call it? A magnolia flower that it is the...
oh, yeah. How it kind of, yeah. It's a crazy Mercedes-Benz Stadium riff. So they went 3-1 finally, fighting back from what was a embarrassment week one. DC United on the losing end of that one. NYCFC hosting the Galaxy, they continue to make moves as they win. I feel like they're going to be a team that's going to just win. Weird to say about a New York team, but I think they're going to fly somewhat under the radar. Because I think everything is going to be about Atlanta and everything is about... Oh, this young Red Bulls team that's performing well.
Or LAFC.
LAFC, just
that's right.
Destroying people. Bob Bradley doing what Bob Bradley does, just roll
Welcome
out winners.
Almost instant.
Yeah, and I think I think NYCFC kind of going to just, they're going to get their wins. And it's not always going to be the top of the highlight reel, but
they're
going to be there. As they were this week, let's jump into Saturday action. Started again for the second week in a row. The Crew play the 1 p.m. match on Saturday. Interesting that the Crew getting the awkward start times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it interesting?
I mean, interesting so far as expected.
Expected.
Let's
hey,
just
what's going on there?
That the Crew is going to have to hold themselves up.
Just like
season.
You found a long bathroom line, get in line.
Crew versus the World, week two, and they're still undefeated. They get the win after kind of throwing away a lead to Montreal.
Yeah,
and
two-goal lead.
At the death, a penalty called. Zardes steps up, which, by the way, notice how Higuain and Zardes didn't fight over who was going to take the penalty. Hey?
Turns out you can do that.
Did you see the post-game interview with Higuain?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't score on that side. So
boom. There it is.
I let him have it.
Now we know.
If only Kai knew that.
Love him.
If only Kai knew that it was first half and I need to let him have these penalties. Different story was written there. Zardes, though... Three goals.
Yeah, that's right.
He
two matches.
Making his resurgence.
The Zardes redemption story is like the subplot to the Save the Crew Major League season. You know, the team that just won't die.
It's not wrong.
It's going to be fun.
Somewhere there's a puzzle piece silhouette of someone's...
A pre-court?
Yeah, a pre-court. Just being stripped off piece by piece.
There you go.
Every win.
Hot. Brad Friedel got his first win as manager.
Good for him.
Hey, Friedel. By the way, after the Spurs match, I don't know who it was, but there was some coach on this like Spurs staff that was bald and walking around, and I kept going like, is that Friedel? Is Friedel still
there? Is this him?
Yes, it is.
Did he fly out? What?
Nah, it's not.
No, he's coaching him up there in the Boston area. Getting the 2-1 victory over Colorado. Other matches, you mentioned it, LAFC. Big boy win over a team that we think is supposed to be pretty good in
Real
Salt Lake.
They look good.
Yeah.
They played two games and they look good.
Yeah.
I think everyone going into it was talking about Carlos Villa being the big name.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Diego Rossi.
Yeah.
The kid has proven himself to be a heck of a talent.
Yeah. Young DP as well. So someone who's going to be along, hopefully, for a long time to come in the league. For a team that's getting slammed a little bit at the moment for not actually doing any of their tweets in Spanish, this is exactly what needs to happen.
You think they would have, like, you know, a little bit of money to shift around to hire someone just to do that for them?
I don't disagree with you.
Come on, Will Ferrell.
Nomar, Tony Robbins, the Cardiff owner.
Let us have what we have. Just let us have him.
There's a few bucks that they can shake loose to hire somebody to possibly do that.
Fair enough.
They'll figure it out.
Yes, they will.
Sporting KC getting a 4-3 victory at Chicago. This was a match that KC was bossing, and then they completely threw it away, and then they won it at the end. It was also looked super cold in Chicago.
Well, that's...
Like painful. Like your face hurts.
We've talked about this before on the podcast, but when we went there in June, and it was like the 40s.
It's now March.
Months. So.
That's why they call it the Windy City.
That's true indeed. A few more things in MLS land that actually transpired this weekend.
Red Bulls 4, Portland nothing.
The Savarese era?
Slow start.
Yeah.
Slow start.
A little bit of a slow start, considering it started not all that long ago. Not that surprising either.
But a slow 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a slow 2 weeks entirely for a side that are used to finding their way through things. No Nagby to lean on anymore?
No.
Hmm?
Diego Valeri looking pretty human without the link up with Nagby?
It's hard to do that.
Hmm. And then Minnesota actually won a match. So
good for
a lot to be said there.
Everyone is rejoicing, I'm pretty sure.
They were on the road because I think you can't legally play a match in March in Minnesota. Just wouldn't be prudent.
Yep.
They were down in Orlando, get the 2-1 victory, and that's MLS. 2 weeks in. Do we know stuff?
No, we don't know anything.
Some teams are good.
I don't feel that way.
Let's talk USL, though. USL season getting ready to start this weekend. Are you excited to not have your weekends anymore? USL side?
We'll say this much. It is a large commitment that's around the corner. It's going to be a lot to get ready for. But I am ready for it. It's better than no soccer. You know what I mean? Like, you spend the last 6 months of your life working on not soccer.
And the lead up to soccer.
And now we actually have it again. So for that reason alone, I'm really excited about it.
So season gets underway next Saturday or this upcoming Saturday.
That's right.
Six new clubs, 2018.
There are a few of them.
What's
your favorite one?
Well, it's got to be Vegas, right?
Yeah, it has to be Vegas. I think if there's anywhere in the world that's getting their eyes set on at the moment for a new soccer club, it has to, like, even if you're not American, it has to be the new team in Las Vegas.
Talking about, first of all, just pro sports in Vegas.
Already a little crazy.
Literally upwards of a year ago?
Yeah.
Didn't exist. Mm-hmm. There's now an NHL team and a USL team, soon to be an NFL team, but by Raiders. Vegas suddenly, like, overnight turning into a pro sports city. So that's that on the surface, crazy. Then you add, we have a team with insane jerseys. They're paying their player bonuses in poker chips.
Yeah.
They signed Freddie Adu, and in a preseason match, their manager got kicked to the stands where he proceeded to smoke a pack of cigarettes.
Good for him.
So, I mean, how are you not entertained?
Literally, this is everything the USL has ever asked for. This is an incredible, incredible franchise they've been gifted to all of us. It's not just them. It's not just people who are in that conference. It's literally every last one of us. It is awesome.
All right. Pop quiz, USL employee.
Okay.
Who are the other new teams? So we mentioned Las Vegas. Who are the five other new sides for 2018?
I think I can do this.
Okay, let's do it.
I think so.
All right.
So Fresno.
Right. So, okay. So Western Conference is done.
Western Conference is now done.
So we two new there.
That's right.
Four new.
Then we need to move over into the new sides that have made the move over from the NASL.
Bingo.
Right? So you need to include your Indy 11s, your North Carolina FCs.
Yep.
And then I feel like there's one that is escaping me at the moment.
No, it's just.
That's it. Yeah.
Those are on that front.
All right. So that means.
I mean, maybe more to come down the road, but.
Well, we'll hold our breath until that point.
Apparently not existing.
I think at this stage in the season, we're not there. Right. So we've already gotten those two. That means there's one other Eastern Conference side, and that means it's Nashville FC. Those are
and you have one more. You have one more.
Wait a minute.
Stay south. You got one more.
Oh, Atlanta United.
Yeah, we
can't even forget about them. Mostly because there will most likely be a former FC Cincinnati player lining up for them this season in Mitchell Hildebrand. So it's an exciting time in USL, regardless of the way you look at it. Every year in USL, you're gonna get this injection as things currently stand. Of new players, new teams, new markets, coming into a league that's actually thriving a little bit at the moment.
Not thriving, like blowing up.
And on a low-key way, right?
Like, sure. So you're excited for the season? A lot of new.
It's impossible not to get excited for the season. Just sure. Given the way that USL is trending right now.
Yep. Hey, I'm on board. I got my season tickets. I'm ready to roll.
You say USL on the rise. It's cliche, but this is a league that's kind of in that position at the moment. All these new markets, they're exciting markets too. It's not like it's just a bunch of dull,
You brought over two NASL sides that are very well-run, great soccer clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Indy 11, well-run side, making plays. A side that, 2 years ago, we were working for a fourth division side and looking up at Indy 11. Like, these guys are really just crushing it.
Doing it right. Now they're in our league, and we have this nice little triumvirate of places that we can drive to. And it's everything that American soccer has ever wanted to experience. And I think that's what's really neat about the USL this year is we're going to get a nice little experiment of what it's like to have teams – within close driving different distance of one another, and we'll actually get perhaps in a way supporter a culture that will spread and maybe make this league a little more proficient and enjoyable for everyone else that gets into it.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Indy 11 moving over to USL. They have Louisville, 60 minutes away. I mean, it's a short drive down I-65 to get to Louisville.
Sure.
Cincinnati is 90 minutes away. Indy's maybe three and a half, 4 hours away.
No, it's only two for me.
Two?
Yeah. It's incredible. Going. Yeah.
Go back down, keep going down 65 past Louisville.
Yeah, it's four and a half, 4 hours to Nashville.
And this is, they had nothing close to this last year in NASL.
It's mind-boggling for a lot of different people, even those of us who are used to having a quick trip down to Louisville. So this is what American soccer could be, right? We're getting a sniff at what this country could be. Here's hoping that everyone gets on board with the idea and that the teams that are making that move over will express themselves in a way that commensurates with the opportunity that's available to us.
Indy 11 making making a go of it. They got a decent side. Got like Jack McInerney. I mean, they built a nice little roster there. Louisville obviously defending champs. FC Cincinnati just take the entire NASL starting first 11 from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good teams right here in the Midwest for USL. We do have a change in USL.
Sure.
Rule change.
Okay.
We now, in extra time, are getting a fourth sub. So that's
hooray. Nice. Yeah, but it only comes into play this year if you make it to the playoffs.
Right, because you're not
And you make it into extra time itself. So pretty unlikely that it'll affect anyone until this point. But you have to like the progressiveness of the league being willing to change, if nothing else. So I'm not going to make any complaints.
Pop quiz.
Okay.
What are you looking forward to most? Okay. That's not like the selfish things of like, you know, game day experience of, you know, work and all that stuff. And that,
yeah.
You know, if you're looking forward to that as much, it's because
if there's something that sticks out in my mind immediately, I think I like to think a little about the idea of where the MLS2 teams are going in this league.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a side like Orlando, who was very proficient and competitive over the last few years. In the USL, they aren't going to have a team this year. They decide to scale back. Atlanta United, meanwhile, they get into the fray, and now they're going back out for it, and maybe too early. So it's a system that's still getting figured out. We haven't necessarily seen all or even part of the directives that they'd be subjected to, but at the same time, it's something that's worth paying attention to.
We're not going to do the whole, like, you know, here's how we think the playoffs break down, all that stuff.
No.
DJ, obviously, obviously, we know where your rooting interests lie, but give us one team that may be flying under the radar this year.
USL teams I'm looking forward to this year?
Yeah, like, you think maybe fly on the radar might have a decent squad that people aren't taking full notice of?
They've been in the league for a few years now. This will be their second year in it. Tampa Bay, like, they haven't made a lot of extraordinary acquisitions, but Marcel Schaefer, I think, hands down their midfielder last year, the German, is probably one of the best players
Wolfsburg,
in the league.
Right?
Yeah, and the fact that a guy of his caliber is still in the league, still playing with that team, and it's a rather well constructed team around him. They were really good. They obviously, you know, made some waves last year on their own, but I just don't think they're at the place where Marcel or the team themselves are getting the respect that they probably should. Very, very good, and I think that we're going to struggle with them once again this year.
They've been a tough out for FC Cincinnati in the past, that's true.
Yeah.
Let's go winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers. Do you have a winner that you would like to start with this evening?
I'm going to go. Your wife mentioned it earlier, the Burnley players letting kids hang out on their bench while just absolute pandemonium ensued there with the West Ham fans pouring onto the pitch. You know, we didn't even mention it earlier. Not only in all of that, you had the owner having to be escorted out of the stadium by security.
Absolutely incredible.
Like, for his own safety, hey, we got to get you out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, Burnley players letting the kids find some safe space, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely awesome moment. You know, not very often that you see a Premier League team inviting children down on their bench.
No,
very less often for the home side showering them in inoffensive comments. So, those
hi kids, would you like to learn what ethnic slurs are?
Yeah, that's
come
probably
hang out
the
with
case.
Us.
Definitely an excellent gesture on their part. I'm also going to give just a nod to both Fiorentina, for my winner this week. And of course, the man filling in for their captain, Davide Astori, who obviously died last week. The man who steps into his shoes in the starting role scores the goal. I don't think you can find a more poetic moment than this.
And then
he immediately comes over and his manager is holding up a shirt and he salutes it. You'd hate for soccer to become more militaristic than it is already, but...
But that was a "Oh Captain, My Captain" moment, right?
Holy shit, was that an "Oh Captain, My Captain" moment? I have no affinity at all towards Fiorentina. Watching the highlight of
Thank you for Marcus Alonso. Otherwise, yeah. I know nothing.
But right, but that's one of the things. Like,
and Mo Salah,
and him having a nice little spell there before he made us move back to the English Premier League. But no, these are the moments we live for in the any action that we're watching, these human moments that drag us all back to the reality. We've all been in a spot where someone really respected in our lives passed away, and suddenly we're left in a void, and it is perfectly filled in by the people who are there to make that happen. So cheers to Fiorentina and their team to taking the moment and making the most of a moment.
Yeah, we saw
for all of us.
Yeah, we saw respect paid really around the soccer world.
Yeah.
Premier League sides going with the black armband.
That's right.
Or if you're Crystal Palace, you just had electrical tape over the Premier League patch.
Yeah, it's just
which I was like, are you guys boycotting the Premier League? Or, oh.
It's both.
Gotcha.
It's enough for them.
Okay.
Sure.
Found that a little weird. But all right, whatever.
it happens.
Your wanker?
My wanker this week. Look, there were a lot of different wankers. Some within our own city who maybe deserve it, but we'll bypass scorn because not everyone deserves to be put on blast.
Just put everyone on blast. Hey, you all. Blast.
Blasting it. they're not getting it this evening. Lucky them. The one I wanted to go with tonight was Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, this you showed this to me. Like, I mean, I watched this raw.
Even know.
Unreal. Unreal.
You're watching this. Jamie Carragher, the former Liverpool legend, spitting out of his driver's side window while driving his vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
At a Manchester United fan taunting him over Liverpool's 2-1
hey, Jamie.
Loss to Manchester
2-1. United. 2-1. Unlucky, mate.
Jamie Carragher actually hawking up a loogie.
Yeah.
It looks snotty to me.
He needed to work on that loogie a little bit.
It didn't look a little bit snotty.
It could have been more cohesive
It's one of those ones that will stick to the lining of your vehicle.
Yeah, but as spit goes, I wanted it to just be like a one or two piece spittle.
It was not that.
No, there was a shotgun spray to it.
This is a player who doesn't even play for the team. He's getting harassed at the moment. Deciding, hey,
I was going to say, when was the last time he suited up for Liverpool?
Doesn't even matter. It's an embarrassing amount of time to have done that. What about your wanker this week?
My wanker, I don't know if he fully deserves the blame for this bummer that I found out today, but I'm going to give it to him. Ricardo Silva.
Okay.
Ricardo Silva and his media company essentially own or broker, however you want to phrase it, the Scottish Premier League rights for the U.S. Do you know which channel they're on this year?
No, but I'd like for you to tell me.
None channels.
Oh, what?
Now, granted, I didn't learn that till today when I wanted to watch the Old Firm Derby and went to go turn on Fox. Oh, no, not on Fox. Okay. Not on FS1, not on FS2.
All right.
According to my channel guide, it's not even on Fox Sports Plus.
That's all I'm looking for.
None of there. So, okay, maybe for some reason, I'll check BN Sport. No, not there. Maybe ESPN, like Watch ESPN app?
Nope, nothing in there either.
Also not.
Okay.
They did not get a deal with anybody done.
So, how'd you watch?
I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't.
How'd that make you feel?
Bad.
Belittled.
So apparently, if you're a Scottish Premiership fan and you have a club chances are it's either Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, are there other ones?
And the one, you know, Hamilton fan, you basically have to go and buy the subscription service through the club. So, like, Ranger TV, Wolf. Celtic TV, or Celtic Vision, I think it would be a cooler name. There's no partner in the U.S. And I'm just going to – it may not even be his fault. Maybe he tried to get a deal done, but I'm just going to blame him. Ricardo Silva, Mr. We Want Soccer for Everybody. Sounds like you're withholding some soccer, bud.
Maybe.
Just maybe.
It's just hard for them to all recognize that. Mm. It's only one-sided at this point.
I mean, how are you going to get that on, though? Like, what channel's taking that on? Spike TV is gone, so I was going to say
that doesn't even exist TBS.
Very funny.
It might not be funny enough. That brings us to the end of this week's show, talking about things that are not funny enough. You can reach Jeremy on Twitter, at Jeremy Lance. Mm-hmm. You can also find me at DJ Switch. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me at Wrong Side of Pond, still following the old pseudonym. You can also find us via email. You can get us at contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. That is the end of this week's show. If you want to get involved, you just heard all the rays. Just do it. We're going to be looking for it.
By the way, you mentioned TBS. Mm-hmm. Remember, next year, Champions League.
On it.
On Turner.
That's right.
Turner Broadcast Networks.
Everyone, hold your TNT and TBS places ready.
What are they going to do, like, this time of year, though? Because Turner is also what runs all the March Madness stuff. I don't know if you noticed, but, like, there's March Madness this next couple of weeks.
Basketball wins.
Also Champions League next couple of weeks.
Basketball is going to win. I think we already know how this works.
Yep.
Welcome to America. All right, everyone. Have a good weekend. And week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.